Grace, mercy, and peace be to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I asked earlier, but are you ready? Did you get all of your gifts packed? Maybe now that you know that it's Christmas, maybe in the last 20 minutes or so, you're able to pull out your phone and order some things from Amazon. Are your Christmas decorations up? Have you been able to plan out your meals for the upcoming week? Able to avoid those lines at Kroger that are sure to get chaotic in the next couple of days? You know, maybe you've been able to reserve your pew here for our Thursday services. We are a lot like Star Wars. If you come early, we'll leave the heat on. We'll even give you free coffee, and you can camp out for your pew for Thursday if you want. Christmas, it's an amazing time of year, isn't it? Between now and Friday, it seems like really anything is possible. That even if you have a slimmer of hope of something you might expect to happen, there's just a slight chance that it will, because it's Christmas, and Christmas is amazing. Amazing. It's such a unique word. It's not a word that we throw out lightly, is it? What does it mean for something to be amazing? Well, it means that it's an overwhelming surprise, that it's an unexpected wonder. It's amazing. Think about that. When was the last time you experienced something that you would call amazing? Some overwhelming joy, some overwhelming surprise, unexpected joy. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking most of my amazing memories go back to my childhood. They go back to events that happened that I couldn't fully explain, wasn't ready enough or wise enough to fully understand was happening. Especially when I think back to many Christmases that I got to spend as a kid. I remember most Christmases, me and my brother, we would barrel down the stairway on Christmas morning when that clock struck 5 o'clock and we were allowed to get up. I remember just being totally surprised at all of the various shapes and sizes of things that just somehow magically appeared there over the night. I was always shocked because I thought I had stayed up the entire night watching guard from the stairwell, yet somehow they always seemed to slip in there, unexpected. Christmas can be an amazing time of the year. At least for most people. That is, except for a widow named Stella. Instead of being filled with wonder and amazement during this Christmas time, Stella finds herself full of loneliness and even overwhelming sadness. This is the first Christmas that she will experience all alone in an empty house, a house full of painful memories. Her husband had passed away just a few months prior, and so she knew that she was going to be spending Christmas alone. Her daughters have all grown up, moved away. They promised to come and spend this first Christmas with her, yet sudden snowstorms canceled all of their flights and made all of the roads impassable, and so she was resigned to the fact that she would be spending these days alone. Now, with no one to host and really no one to assist her in putting up the decorations, Stella decided it really wasn't even worth getting the box out of the basement. I mean, truly, what's the point? Only her eyes would see these things after they were put up, and she had all of her memories of a house full of children and decorations. Suddenly, this thought of having no one to share this special day with began to overwhelm her, and so she decided to deal with it the only way that she knew how. She was going to pretend that these days were like any other day that she had spent. She was going to drink tea by the fire, read some of her books, listen to some of her old records and try not to remember what was going on. Essentially, Stella decided that she was going to have to cancel Christmas this year. Late that afternoon, while she was lost in thought of Christmas's past, she was startled awake by the ring of the doorbell. She looked out the window and noticed that there was a young delivery boy standing on her porch with a package, with a box. She thought, oh, it must be a consolation gift from one of the girls, so at least they would feel okay not being able to be there on Christmas. She opened the door and the boy asked her, are you Mrs. Thornhope? She nodded and she urged the boy to come inside to escape the cold and to come onto her porch so that he could deliver his package. She was also startled to think that the delivery service was still out delivering packages in the midst of all of this snow. She signed the paper, and then she inquired to the boy what was inside the box. The boy smiled at her, opened the box, and revealed the little bundle of joy that was inside of it. Inside was a very little, very excited puppy, a golden Labrador retriever. the same exact dog, type of dog that she once shared with her husband when their marriage was fresh and there were no kids to chase around and look after. The delivery boy picked up the squirming puppy and explained, "This is for you, ma'am. He's 6 weeks old, and thankfully he's completely housebroken." The young puppy eagerly licked her face, and she smiled. She smiled for the first time in a long time. Still puzzled, she asked, "Who sent this?" The young man handed her an envelope saying, "It's all explained in here, ma'am." As suddenly as he appeared, he left to deliver more packages to more strangers. She quickly opened up the letter to see a familiar handwriting on the top. It was the writing of her husband, recently departed. The top said, "My last Christmas gift for you, my love." It was dated 3 weeks before he passed. The letter was full of love, encouragement, inside jokes, and once-forgotten memories. Also, it contained admonishments for her to be strong in this difficult time. He confessed to have sent her this young animal so that he could keep her company until they would one day be reunited in Christ. Then at the bottom of the letter was written these words, "P.S. Maybe this little guy would like to help you put up all of those decorations. Merry Christmas, my dear. I love you." Stella stood at the door, entirely amazed at what had happened. She wiped away the tears, she put the letter down, and she picked up that golden ball of fur, letting it lick away all of the dried tears on her cheeks. "Little fella," she said, "you know what? There's a box down in the basement that I think you might like. It's got a little Christmas tree, a manger scene, some old decorations, and some lights. Let's go get it and put it up, and we can celebrate Christmas together." Christmas can be such an amazing time. A time where anything can be possible. Sadly, however, I think in my own life, I think I might be a little like the earlier Stella in the story. I think that somehow I've lost that childish sense of amazement and wonder. Unfortunately, I've let the busyness and the undefined expectations of the upcoming days distract me from the blessings and the amazement that God has put in my life before me. If I'm being honest, I'm not just guilty of this on Christmas. I think this has invaded my spirit throughout all of the year. To be truthful, I know a lot more about life now. I can explain away most things. Thanks to inventions like Google and Wikipedia, if I don't know the answer to something, I can quickly debunk it or to figure it out myself. Sadly, childish wonder and awe has totally been replaced with adult sarcasm and cynicism. And I'm pretty sure if we're all being honest, I'm not the only one who's guilty of that. I'm pretty sure that if we were honest, we'd all have some of these problems. And so I'd like to take an opportunity to ask you, how is your spirit this Christmas? Have you let the distractions determine your reason for this season? It's because of this lack of personal amazement that I'm thankful for stories like Stella's, stories that prove that there really are impossibilities being done every day, sudden, exciting amazements that I wouldn't predict. There's also another story that I'd like to share, one that goes all the way back to the very first Christmas, a story that's found in today's reading from Luke. In order to understand this story, we need to know what's preceded it, what happened before this. Just prior to today's reading, we've been able to walk alongside Mary as she's being revealed the news of a lifetime, that she has been chosen by God for some amazing thing. Recently, before this, the angel Gabriel has appeared to Mary, maybe in a dream, and has revealed what God's plan is for her. Mary, she's just a young woman, really nothing remarkable about her life, just getting started. She's engaged but not yet married to her husband, soon-to-be husband Joseph. They're to live a normal life, and that's what she's expecting her life to be. If she's lucky, she'll have some children and she'll be able to raise them and to praise God in the midst of it. Yet God sends his angel Gabriel to her to reveal that God has something really amazing in store for her. She is told that she has found the favor of God's eyes. Just think about that phrase, the favor of God's eyes. Because of this favor, she has been chosen to bear his only son. This is something that no one would have been able to predict, especially not Mary. And though she doesn't fully understand what this gift will look like or what it means, we're told that she accepts it in faith. She's also given some sort of consolation. At the very end of this announcement, she's told that her cousin or her relative Elizabeth, who's much older and long past childbearing age, will in fact have a son herself. Now, as we pick up in today's reading, we see that Mary immediately sets out to do one thing. She rushes to visit her relative Elizabeth. She immediately sets out into the hill country of Judea. I imagine if I was her up until this point, I don't know if this was just a crazy dream. Maybe I ate something awkward and it's just made me see visions. Yet now she does have that consolation. If she goes and she visits Elizabeth and Elizabeth is found to be pregnant, then there must have been some truth to this announcement from Gabriel. And so this is where we find Elizabeth, in Judea, in a seemingly secluded town in the hills in the shadow of the greatest city of Jerusalem, the same city where Elizabeth's husband serves as a priest in the great temple. Can you imagine the extent of wonder that must have filled the mind of Elizabeth? Her whole life, I'm sure she's wanted to have children. I'm sure younger women have ridiculed her, that she must have done something to upset God, that God refused to bless her, that she had not found his favor, and that she would die alone. And now suddenly, all of this has changed. With one quick announcement, her entire life has changed because Elizabeth has found that she is now pregnant. She's finally found that long sought after favor that she surely prayed for every single day of her life. She will get to be what she has always desired to be. Elizabeth will be a mother. I'm sure that she's swept up in that exciting news, as many of you have in your lifetime. You start daydreaming of what life will be like as a family of three. What will that child be like? What gifts will they have? What skills, what talents, what joys? I'm sure she's spending her days wondering about this when she hears the news that her much younger relative Mary is on her way. I'm sure that she's planning of an exciting way to announce to Mary that she's pregnant. She's just excited to show off her baby bump and to blow her mind that this is possible. Yet we see that it is Elizabeth who's truly surprised in this encounter. Because the moment that Mary appears, she gives a very simple greeting, and yet everything changes. The unexpected happened, the truly amazing happened. Elizabeth's own child begins to leap in her womb at the presence of this woman. Elizabeth feels the Spirit come upon her, and she recognizes that, yes, this is Mary, but there's something different. Mary is not traveling alone. Mary is with child. And even more, this child is no ordinary baby. Elizabeth opens her mouth and words of praise begin to pour out from it. She says this. She says, "Blessed are you, Mary, among all women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." When's the last time you called somebody blessed? It's not a word we use very often, is it? It's a word reserved for something special. It's an interesting word to even be used in this point. To be blessed, what does it mean? It means to be set apart, to be consecrated, to be used entirely for God's purpose. Somehow Elizabeth knows not only that Mary is with child, but that this child is God himself. Mary truly has been blessed by any definition of that word. She's amazingly been set apart. She has been set apart to be the bearer of the chosen Messiah who will come to save the entire world. Elizabeth, through the wisdom and discernment of the Spirit, knows that she is in the presence of God himself, and she does the only thing that's appropriate when you find yourself in the presence of God. She begins to worship him. What's even more amazing about this scene is not only does Elizabeth, who's never been told that this is happening, know that this is God in front of her, we're told that she is not alone in her worship, because her very own child, yet unborn but entirely full of faith, begins to do somersaults of joy at being in the presence of this Messiah. What an amazing scene. Just think about that for a second. These are the first people to hear about the news of this child. The very first people. It says Mary immediately goes, after Joseph has also learned in a dream, she immediately goes to Elizabeth, and these are the first people to witness what's happening. A seasoned woman, finally pregnant after so many years, and the child who is still in her womb. There's something unbelievable about that, isn't there? Yet because it's so unbelievable, it truly is believable. It truly is amazing, and it truly is beautiful. The baby worshiping with all of his newly formed body. Elizabeth now full of faith, full of hope, full of wonder, and full of amazement. It's her closing words that prove it all when she says, "Why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" We echo those words. Why is it granted to us that God himself would come to us on Christmas morning? How are we going to react when we find ourselves face to face with God? This Christmas story, it truly is an amazing story. It is about God himself looking down into our broken world, our fallen world, and his decision to fix it. Christmas is about God's love being so overpowering, so perfect, that he chooses to send his only son into our broken mess of a world and to live among us so that through his life we may have restoration and healing and hope. This is the first and truly the most amazing Christmas gift that has ever been given. In fact, this gift, it's so amazing, it's so perfect, it's so unique that we had to actually invent a word just to describe it. We call this moment where God himself comes to earth and takes on our flesh and lives among us, we call this the incarnation. This is what we celebrate at Christmas. We celebrate that our God loves us, knows us, and cares for us so much that he's willing to give up his throne in heaven in order to lay his infant head in a borrowed and dirty trough turned into a crib. That God was willing to spend a lifetime amongst us in our fallen world so that you and I could spend an eternity in paradise with him. I challenge you to find a more amazing story than this one. Brothers and sisters, this world that we live in, it can be so jaded. It can be so cynical, so predictable, and often so broken that we can unfortunately forget just how amazing this earth is that God created. This season, we can wrap up an attitude of sarcasm and busyness. We can place it under the tree, hoping to sabotage any cheerful person that might come across it. Yet if an unborn child can do somersaults in the womb and a seasoned woman can sing words of almighty praise upon witnessing the arrival of this heavenly king, how much more can you and I praise his name because we know the rest of the story? A short time after today's reading, a short time in our own schedule, an angel appears before a pack of very unremarkable shepherds who are tending their flocks in night in the small town of Bethlehem. An angel appears and says to him these words, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And then suddenly that angel wasn't alone. A heavenly host of angels appeared and sing and said these words, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Glory to God in the highest and peace among those with whom he is pleased. With people like Mary, like Elizabeth, like her child John. With people like Stella, with people like you, and people like me. 2,000 some years ago, a child was born in the unremarkable town of Bethlehem. The heavens opened, the stars shined, and the earth sang. This year, as we sit before our own ceramic nativity sets and well-decorated trees, we can be tempted. Because for many of us, the wonder has left. The nostalgia of childhood joys and toys has been replaced with pain long past. And yet, this season, one thing remains. One wonder, one grand amazement that stands in all of time and all of eternity. Because on this day, Jesus Christ was born. This is most certainly true. Amen. Now I ask you to rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus above. And all God's people say, Amen.